Isn't that wonderful?
This is just awesome.
Oh my gosh. Awesome. Well, I'd like for you to turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. We are going to read some scripture this morning that is, I think, very familiar to most of us here. Whenever I read some of these scriptures, we're going to read from Ephesians 1, a little bit in Ephesians 2. And we're going to consider some things regarding the one body. But when I first learned these verses, I'll never forget how thrilling it was to learn this stuff about the one body, about Jesus Christ being the head of the body. It was just thrilling. It was thrilling. I can remember the first time it really started to click for me. And I was pretty young in the Word, and it was at a fellowship. It was at night. And it just clicked for me. I got it. You know, one body. And it was so thrilling. And one thing that I think we're going to see this morning is the importance of being with, assembling yourselves together with, like-minded believers. It's the way that God intended us to live. The one body is really critical to our walks, to our growing. And we'll see that without that one body, one will never really see the depths of the love of Christ that we'll see in the one body. One of the saddest things I ever see is when I see a born-again one separate themselves. And many times over the years, I've seen the effects of it. I've seen the effects of a saint who has just been on their own for 8, 9, 10 years. And really the fight that they encounter just to sort of get back, you know, to get back to that one man thinking. And it's, you know, those things are really a trick. It's really critical. This body, this one new man, it's that which God had hidden himself that was not known until it was revealed, you know, as we read in the book of Ephesians through the Apostle Paul. So let's read some of these verses. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 16. This is a prayer that's recorded here. And in verse 16 it says, well, we'd better read 15, I guess. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your believing, your faith, your believing in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention in my prayers, is how it should read, of you is shouldn't be there, making mention in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding. It's a kind of a figure. It means really that your heart, or the eyes of your heart. The eyes of your understanding or heart being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, or toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, or according to the working of his ability to prevail. Which he wrought or energized in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly realm. That's the power, that ability to prevail that we're talking about. You know, this, it is more than simply the raising of Jesus Christ from the dead, which is pretty good. But it's the setting him at his own right hand. It's the giving to him all authority, judgment. It is the creation of a new race of men, of which Jesus Christ is the firstborn. Isn't that something? Which is what we will be at the return of Jesus Christ when we get our new bodies. That's the power we're talking about. That ability to prevail. God prevailed over everything that the adversary had. He prevailed over the rebellion that took place all the way back in Genesis. And what is being restored by what God did, by his ability to prevail, is more than what Adam lost. Isn't that something? See? Verse 21, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. This is a figure of speech. I forget what it's called, but it just means many ands. It's emphasizing all these things, you know. All principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Look at not only in this age, but also in that which what? Is to come. That's right. And he's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his what? Body. His body. The fullness of him that fills all. He fills all things in all people. Fills all things in every member of that body, of that church. In chapter 2, let's start in verse 1, and we may just read the whole chapter. Verse 1 says, and you, it could read even. The words hath he quickened are in italics. They were added by the translators. So you would read this, and you, or even you, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. You know, that those children of disobedience are those who reject the Christ. Among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life, in times past, in the lusts or the cravings of our flesh. That's all there was. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You know, Jesus Christ is the only way. There is no other way. Talks about that in Hebrews. Jim and I were talking about that. I think it's in Hebrews 10, where it talks about if somebody sins willfully, there remains no more sacrifice of sin. If you reject the Christ, and that's the sin specifically in the context it's talking about, you reject the Christ, there's no more sacrifice for sins. That's it. There's nothing else. And so all that that one who rejects the Christ has to look forward to is wrath. Right? Right. No more sacrifice for sins. He's it. But God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And that making us alive was the giving of spirit. It's spirit life. Eternal life spirit. Even when we were dead, made alive. Verse 6, and raised us up together and made us to sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That, the purpose being, in the ages to come, he might show or exhibit or demonstrate the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us, and it should read, in Christ Jesus. Isn't that something? That's the point. There are wonderful things to enjoy now. There are wonderful things to take advantage of now. Rights, privileges, abilities that we have. We have a wonderful ability to give and to minister. We can make known the Lord Jesus Christ, holding forth and making available eternal life. We shine as lights in a dark and perverse age. And all those things are tremendous. They're wonderful. Walking with God, you know, all the blessings associated with that. But the point isn't any of those things. It's what we have coming. Isn't that something? It's the exceeding riches of his grace that God will demonstrate to us for all of eternity in Christ Jesus. Isn't that something? That's our hope. That's what we live in light of. For by grace, verse 8, are you saved through believing, and that not of yourselves, it is the what? It's the gift of God. Right? Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. His workmanship or his accomplishment, created in Christ Jesus. And it should read upon good works. Whose good works? Jesus Christ. Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of the citizenship of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, remember when I first learned this, the man who taught this, he read these scriptures and he stopped at 13 and he said, but now. I remember that like it was yesterday. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. See? For he, Christ, is our peace, who hath made both one, and the both is Jew and Gentile, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, between the Jew and the Gentile, having abolished in his flesh the enmity or the hostility, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make, and that word make is the same word as create up in verse 10, to make or to create in himself of two, one new man. One new man, so making what?
Peace.
You know, the world, in certain fields, has devoted itself, has committed itself, has spent millions and millions and millions, gazillions of dollars. You know, hours and hours and hours and hours of education in trying to figure out and determine all the different kinds of people, all the different personalities, why you are the way you are, all these different things. According to the Word of God, you got two. You got the unsaved, and you got the saved. Right? That's right. Really. And the problem for all the woes of the unsaved is to what? To get saved. Not to learn whether or not you're a type A personality or a type B personality or a type Z personality. You know? Or not to find the perfect food for your blood type. All these things. Some of those things maybe are beneficial. But the bottom line is you got the saved and you got the unsaved. isn't that something? So he's abolished in his flesh that hostility, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Jesus Christ, in paying the price that he paid, he slayed the hostility between Jew and Gentile, and he slayed, got rid of the hostility between all men and God. Isn't that something? That's why he is our peace. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, referring to the Gentile, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers. No more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of who? Of God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief corner, in whom, referring to Jesus Christ, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows unto a holy temple or sanctuary in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a what? A habitation of God through the Spirit. We are where God lives. This building, this body, is where God lives. Isn't that something? He works in each one of us to will and to do of his good pleasure. This is where he lives. As each one of us walk with God, as each one of us edify, as each one do, just walk in love. We, by virtue of that Spirit and by virtue of walking in love, believing who we are in Christ, we minister to one another. That's the one body. That's where God lives. See? Isn't that neat? Okay, let's start reading in Ephesians 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. If you've heard of the dispensation or the administration of the grace of God, which is given me towards you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. As I wrote afore in few words, and we've read a little bit about it so far, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. See, one body, one new man. That's the mystery. That's what was hid. One new man, of which Christ is the head. Whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me. who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable or untrackable riches of Christ? And these things were untrackable until it was revealed. A lot of things you can track in the Word, but not the mystery. And to make all see what is the fellowship or the administration of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God. The rest of that verse shouldn't be there. Verse 10, to the intent, or so that, now, under the principalities and powers in the heavenlies, might be known by the church the manifold what?
Wisdom
of God, which was God's purpose. Isn't that something? That by the church might be known under the principalities and powers God's multifaceted wisdom. That's what this one body is. See, it's the wisdom of God. How foolish to reject that one body. It's the wisdom of God. How detrimental it would be to separate yourself out from that which the spirit realm looks at to see the depths of God's wisdom. Something in there. This thing that we're a part of, this thing that we're in is huge. It's huge. And, it's something that if the devil had known about, he wouldn't have killed Jesus Christ. That's how huge it is. Let's pick it up in verse 14 of this chapter. Verse 14. That henceforth we be no more children. Oh, I'm in the wrong, sorry. Wrong chapter. Although that's a good one too. Verse 14 of chapter 3. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by believing, or by the believing, as opposed to all other ways of believing, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of what? Christ. Which surpasses. It's one of those Hooper words. See? It superpasses. See? It surpasses knowledge. It surpasses knowledge. Isn't that something? That love of Christ. That love of Christ can be seen in all of its depths, its height, in that one body. You know, when Jesus Christ, back in the Gospel of John 13, he had one commandment. And he said, a new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, so you should love one another. And by this shall they know. By this, by that love, will they know, see, that you are mine. And that's something. We just read that this one body, this church, this one body, it was referred to as a building, a sanctuary, is where God dwells. See? It's where God dwells. How many times have you had a need met just hanging out with saints? How many times? And they don't even know it. And you don't necessarily tell them. You know? Where you go to a fellowship and whoever's teaching the word, it's like, geez, they read my mind. Right? That's just God working. That's one body. And when someone separates themselves from that one body, they separate themselves from God working in those individual members. They separate themselves from the opportunity to see the height, the depth, the breadth, the length of that love of Christ. They separate themselves from ministries that are in operation in the one body to build, to edify. See? There's no upside. It's all downside. And that's why it's so sad, it's so hurtful to see when a believer has put themselves in that position. You know? And it doesn't have to be. I don't care what the sense is telling me. It doesn't have to be. Yeah. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to wrap up here pretty quick. But in light of what we've just looked at, all right. Let's pick it up in verse 12. Chapter 12, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6. Verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, that gift, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but what? If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? These questions don't even require an answer, right? Mm-hmm. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Boy, if every member of the body were exactly the same, It would be comparable to you being one big eyeball. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath what? As it pleased him. It's God's doing. And if they were all one member, where's the body? Wouldn't be a body, would it?
No.
No, it'd be a bouncing eyeball or a flopping ear. But now, are they many members, yet but one body? Now, this is great. Verse 21. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of you. I can't say that. Because each member of the body has been placed as it has pleased God. Each member of the body has what they have in Christ. Because Christ paid the price. Do you understand? So I cannot say that I have no need of you, nor can you say you have no need of me. And if and when I say that, or if and when you say that, we go against the wisdom of God. We contradict the wisdom of God. And we can only lose from that. We cut ourselves off, potentially, from what God has for us, to bless us, to teach us, to edify us. So, can't say that. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or weak, they're what? They're necessary. And that seem, you know, that seems to be, that's all senses stuff. But everyone has been placed in the body as it has pleased to.
Right.
And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. And whether one member suffer, all the members what? They suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members what? Rejoice with it. See, it's one new man. Boy, that's one body thinking. That's putting on the new man. Now you are the body of Christ, verse 27, and members in particular. See? We've all been called to participate in this body, in this place where God lives. I want to close in Colossians. And this, it's kind of neat just to look at this stuff again and think about it. We're going to pick it up in verse 1. If ye then, or since you then, be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your thinking, your affection, your thinking, your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with who? Christ in God. See? When he died, we died. When he was risen, we were risen. And we were made alive by Spirit, the real life. See? You are died. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Huh. And that we look forward to, right? So, mortify, deaden these earthly practices. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, those who have rejected Christ, in the which you also walked some at one time, when you what? Lived in them. We read that in Ephesians, right? But now, remember? But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. That filthy communication is it's putrid, it's stuff that tears people down. See, don't do that. Don't do that. Why not one to another? Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the what?
The new.
See? The new, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him or created it. That one new man. See? It's one body thinking. See? It's walking in love. It's being absolutely cognizant of the worth of each saint. And walking in love toward those saints. Where, in this new man, there is neither Greek nor Jew. Circumcision nor what? Uncircumcision. Barbarian, Scythian, bond, free. But Christ is all and what?
In all.
See? Boy, that's something. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humility of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. That's going to take some humility at times, isn't it? Right. Sometimes it'll involve laying down what you deem to be your just rights. I'm glad Jesus Christ didn't do that. Was it just for him to have to go through what he went through, having never sinned? No. And you know what? He doesn't hold it against any one of us. The word says he's not ashamed to call us brothers. Isn't that something? And above all these things, put on love, charity. Put on love, which is the bond of perfectness, or the uniting bond of maturity. That's love. Isn't that neat? In that one body. That's the uniting bond of maturity. Is to love. Is to walk in love. It's to love without hypocrisy. That's what it is to grow up. To be mature. It's kind of neat, isn't it? That's where love lives. See? In that habitation of God. In that one body that we've been called to. See? Where we're all born again. Where we're all worth the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I might have different color hair than you have. But does that matter?
No.
No. Because every one of us is getting new bodies. Right? Amen.
Yep.
So, what a day that'll
be. Our
bodies
are the same. You all have the same kind of blood.
We do. That's right. We're all of one blood, Ronnie. That's exactly right. And we've been made to drink in one spirit. Ha! Pretty neat. So, let me pray here. Father, thanks for your word, your love, your grace, and this wonderful body that you've called us to, Father. And that we can continue to grow in this and see it bigger and bigger. How wonderful it is, Father, that you've placed us as it has pleased you. And how, Father, how we anticipate that day when we will be with our Lord Jesus Christ, with our new bodies for all eternity, as you exhibit your grace and your kindness toward us. In Christ. Thank you, Father, for these things in His name. Amen. All right.